Thank you. Thank you all once again for coming on Wednesday morning. I'm happy you all are here, and I'm happy to be able to share this information with you. We're from Coastal Carolina University in South Carolina, so I know the theme of the conference is health issues by place. And so if you're not from South Carolina, these health issues in South Carolina, some of these ideas are very new in our state about sexual health communication. I have no financial relationships with any commercial interest to disclose. And we'd like to thank our community partners we're working with for the work that they have and for the grant that they have from the CDC to do this important work. In South Carolina, even though there's been a reduction in teen births from 31 per 1,000 in 2011 to 29 in 2012, adolescent pregnancy continues to be a major problem in the United States. And in the U.S., teens are between 2 and 10 times more likely to give birth than other developed and European nations. And within the United States, rates vary by state. And in South Carolina, for adolescents aged 15 to 19 years, teen birth rates are higher than the national average. When considering ethnicity among non-white teens in South Carolina, those rates are even higher, with 48 per 1,000 live births. So the Southeast U.S. is disproportionately adversely affected, with South Carolina ranking in the top 10. I think the last I looked, there was something like 8, and that's not a good thing in terms of teen pregnancy. But less published literature exists on on adult comfort level regarding this health issue within communities that are perceived to be conservative. And in these situations, parental communication is considered the key to prevention measures. Studies have found that the influence of mothers can delay a girl's initiation of sexual activity. Parents and their teens have reported that discussions about sex and birth control are uncomfortable. However, this has not been found to be the case for conversations about girlfriend and boyfriend information. And these conversations are important. Past researchers found that parental discussion of condom use was directly related to higher use of condoms and higher rates of protected sex acts among those teens who are sexually active. Let me move that. I don't know why that little arrow is there. And the reason that communication about sex and birth control may be delayed or not discussed include embarrassment, not knowing how to address the topic. More needs to be known about why adults and teens are often reluctant to address these issues and who they are most comfortable with talking about these sexual behaviors. So, the purpose of this study was to assess parents and teens' views on talking about sex and birth control, their levels of comfort in discussing these topics within a social ecological setting that is anecdotally one that's conservative. So here's what we've done. A dual sampling approach of landlines and cell phones resulted in 988 adults from 2 counties in the state of South Carolina completing the South Carolina survey of public opinion on pregnancy prevention. A face-to-face interview process resulted in 641 preteens, teens completing the South Carolina survey of public health opinion on pregnancy prevention. Survey procedures for the teens had to be specifically designed to ensure confidentiality, and so names were never seen or associated with collection of the data. And the adolescents were provided a $25 incentive to complete the survey. Surveys were completed only when youth over 18 provided informed consent, or the ones under 18, they had to assent, and then the parents had to provide informed consent for them. So here's who we found, and when looking at this data, we looked at demographic information. We obtained it for race, gender, parental status, and nearly all of the respondents identified as either white or African American, and so the various categories were collapsed, and that's why our reported N at the top of this slide is less than the 988 from the previous slide, because some folks were removed due to that variable. Then there's a demographic on our teens, and again, the same situation where most identified as either African-American or white, and so others were removed from the sample. Okay, survey items rated parents on communication with their teens or preteens on sex and birth control on 4-point Likert scales, and those answering I don't know were removed from the analysis. Similar items asked about parents' comfort level talking to teens or preteens about sex or birth control with Likert scales. Adults were asked about their beliefs and social norms related to abstinence and birth control use by teens. And our analyses revealed differences in categories, with 73% of parents and 59% of non-parents strongly or somewhat agreeing that most parents talk openly with their teens or preteens about waiting to have sex. Categories were also significantly different for their survey item. Most parents in your community talk openly with their teens or preteens about using condoms or other birth control methods, with parents, almost 70% of parents agreeing strongly or somewhat, and non-parents, 57%. And next, it's interesting. I wish I had a little pointer to look at these two questions. The other question, most parents should talk openly with their teens or preteens. There's a much higher number, 98% and 98% about using condoms or condoms or a birth control method. So should talk openly, and whether they do seem to be, there's a difference there. But when parents were asked, do you talk openly with their teen or preteen about waiting to have sex, as well as using condoms or other birth control methods, most responded strongly agree for those items. And similarly, most parents reported they felt very comfortable talking to teens about sex or sexual intercourse and talking to them about condoms or birth control. So when analyzing responses for the statement, how comfortable are you talking with your teen or preteen about sex, the general linear model of analysis of variance was performed with race and gender as independent variables. And we found that women reported more comfort in talking with their children about sex than men. Racial differences were found as well, with African Americans reporting more comfort than white counterparts. When a similar question was asked to adults about comfort and talking to teens or preteens about birth control, similar findings were revealed, with females feeling more comfort than males. Finally, African Americans felt more comfortable than their white counterparts. Communication with adults on sex or birth control was examined by gender, and when asked, have you talked to a parent about sex or birth control, categories were different by gender. Most males and females answered yes, that they had talked to their parent about, or that they had talked to a parent about birth control. This is the teen communication. So for those who responded yes, we then asked them, we said, okay, well then which parent have you talked to about sex or birth control? And the responses were highest for mom, which is consistent with other literature, at 82%, with 72% of males and 92% of females selecting this response. A higher percentage of males than females noted that they talked to their dad about sex or birth control. When the teens were asked if they had ever talked to another adult about sex or birth control, 52% responded yes, with significant differences between the genders. And for those who answered yes, the three highest percentages found for talking to adults about sex or birth control included a friend, almost 70%, teacher, 29%, and lowest on the level were healthcare professionals. So that's maybe not a good thing, but that's what they said. So preteens or teens were then asked, if you wanted information about birth control, which of the following would you use? And the top three percentages for all teens were mom, dad, and friend. These are also the top three percentages for males. However, the females had the following top responses, with mom at 82%, and then a doctor, 51%, and a friend. And I wanted to note, too, that the teens in the survey could select more than one response for this item. Therefore, the responses do not add up to 100%. Okay. For the teens, then, when analyzing responses for the statement, how comfortable are you in talking to a parent about sex? The general linear model of analysis of variance was performed with race and gender as independent variables, and there was a significant interaction found between race and gender. Multiple comparisons were performed, and in order to reduce the chances of obtaining type 1 error, we used a statistical technique to avoid type 1 error. And there were significant differences between white males and white females. White females' responses, and white females reported significantly lower comfort levels in talking to parents about than their male counterparts, and white females also had significantly lower comfort level discussing sex and birth control with parents than African American females did. So, what does it mean? we looked at how this relates to other things in the literature, and we found, well, while past researchers have found that discussions about sex and birth control are uncomfortable, it appears that in this sample of individuals in the state of South Carolina that most of the adults seem to think the conversations between between adults, preteens, and teens regarding sexual health information were open, encouraged, and supported in within their communities. For example, the adults in this sample indicated that they agree that most parents do talk openly with their preteens about waiting to have sex and using condoms and birth control, and that parents should talk openly with preteens and teens about these things. This perceived openness may seem surprising given the conservative reputation of the state of South Carolina. For example, previous research has indicated that those at a policy level consider South Carolina to be the eighth most conservative state in the United States. And this level of openness in this sample may indicate adults are willing to engage adolescents in the process of sexual health education. And it's consistent with previous research that we've done that indicates that community-dwelling adults value community-based sexual health education within a conservative state. So it seems especially important that women spearhead these community-based sexual health discussions with adolescents. Nearly three-quarters of the males and nearly all of the females in this sample reported seeking information about sex or birth control from mom. So these results support that of previous researchers in indicating the relative importance of a mother in communicating sexual health information. There have been multiple reports in the literature that providing sexual health information to adolescents reduces negative outcomes of sexual behavior. So these findings take the recommendations somewhat further, in that health educators may need to take into consideration teens' ethnicity and adults' ethnicity, given the documented importance of a mother's influence in delaying a girl's initiation of sexual activity. It may be that health educators should increasingly target sexual health messages to parents of white teens, given their reluctance in seeking out health education information about sex and birth control relative to their African-American counterparts. And so hopefully you'll be able to read I didn't press the button. I apologize. This is under review right now with the American Journal of Sexuality Education. We have a related article that's already come out in the same journal, and so hopefully this will be accepted for publication there, and you can read the entire manuscript. But I thank you for your time. I have some questions, apparently. Should I call on them? Yeah, that's a good question. We had the parents had to indicate that themselves, and so I will remember your question for as we kind of work continuing to kind of parse through the data and find there's actually a question came up before the presentation started about the teens themselves. So we didn't consider that variable, but I'll remember it. Question. Second. Mm-hmm. Well, the question again was of our adult sample, how many of the adults were parents and how many weren't? I don't know if I had to go by really fast, but we had about half the sample were parents and half the sample were non-parents, but they were grouped together with a question of, so that may be something we need to do. Since we did have the data of parent and non-parent, maybe we need to do our analyses separately. We did them together for statistical power, but the question was, did we separate parents and non-parents in terms of our statistical analyses? No, we kept them together just for statistical power, but we're finding, as I think about these things and go to other talks on some of these topics this week, it's interesting considering splitting our sample now and looking at things from that perspective as well. I appreciate the thought, though, and I'll certainly do that. There's a question in the back. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure. In terms of teens, teens comfort talking with their parents, right? Parents comfort talking with their parents. I thought it was, we looked at, let's see, I don't know, my co-author did, let's see, the parents were asked, so did they talk openly with teens? Most said they did, most said they felt comfortable, and then, so then the second half was, did the teens, I guess I'm not understanding the question.
We found that, well, there's a sort of perception in the field, right, that parents are horribly uncomfortable.
Right.
These surveys that show actually, much like you found here, parents say, no, we are.
That's right.
We're very comfortable. But actually, the teens are saying, oh, God, no, this is the most horrible.
I saw a paper earlier this week that said the same thing. I don't know when we looked at our data here and we like right here, how comfortable are you talking with a parent? We just parsed it out by ethnicity. I don't know if we maybe it's a basic question we might should have asked, I guess, before we broke it out by some of our other variables. Say, how comfortable are you in a global sense of talking? But these folks, they responded in terms of the ethnicity data that I presented right here to say that they it seemed that the white females had lower levels of comfort of talking about it than their African American females did. But that's the only analysis we did on it. But I'd be happy to talk to you further afterwards about it. So. Right. That's a great question, and I'll just disclose I'm both a qualitative and quantitative person, so I'm not biased either way. I appreciate the comment, and I immediately thought of that. I thought, well, you know, because a separate entity collected the data and did the survey, they did the data collection, and as I looked at it, I thought, where's the qualitative data? Because I'd like to know the context of those conversations. So the question, do we know the context of the conversations that was had? I don't know the answer to that. I hope it was more than just like, okay, you know, now, as I heard in an earlier presentation this week, the conversation was, okay, to a young female, now you're menstruating, here's a condom, don't walk with boys anymore, or something like that, you know. And I thought, you know, it's got to be obviously more than that. And so I'd love to know the context of this. And we're going to contact the folks who did collect this data as part of our community partner, and I'm going to ask them if we can have some of that qualitative data, because as you've suggested, it's so important to have those. I'd love to present a qualitative piece on this. So thank you for that. I think we put education level into the model, but it didn't come out as significant, I don't think. I'm almost sure we put that in, and it wasn't one. But I thought that would make a difference. Yeah, you're right. So that's a good point. And I don't want to take time from my colleagues, and so I'll just mention one comment that was mentioned beforehand was, well, why did you include the preteens and the teens together as a sample? You know, when we know from the data that age at first intercourse is around 15 years old, why did you lump them all together? And my answer was, well, again, it was a statistical issue, so we could try to find out as much as we could. But then it's become pretty clear to me that I think I need to go back to South Carolina and kind of divide that sample and say, what were the preteens and what were the, you know, what were the those under 18 that we had and what were those over 18? So hopefully next year I'll be able to come back and tell a little bit more about that story. So I don't want to take time from my colleagues, but I'd be happy to talk to anybody afterwards about it. But thank you for your time.
Thank you.